Again, good evening, everybody, and this is going to be, I don't have my notes anymore, but this is going to be the fourth study in Galatians. And we're going to be in Galatians 3. I was going to say 4, didn't you? But no, we're going to be in Galatians 3 tonight. We've already went through chapters 1 and 2. And we're going to do chapter 3 tonight, or as much of it as I can, if I don't get all the way to it. You know, in chapter 1, Paul gives his credentials, as always. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ. So the whole letter is encompassed with Paul, and this gives him the credentials that are his, that are from Christ himself. Then he scolds the Galatians for falling away from the gospel unto Judaizing traditions, while he lambasted them that if any man or angel preach any gospel other than that he preached, let them be accursed, and continues with his certification and journeys in chapter 2, dealing with Judaizing spies, trying to get Titus to be circumcised, but he wouldn't have any of it. And James and Peter and John saw that the grace was given to Paul, and they gave him and Barney the right hand of fellowship to go unto the Gentiles, to the heathen. And when Paul and Barnabas came to Antioch, this is a big point in chapter 2, that Paul scolded Peter and Barnabas and others because they were not practicing what they were preaching, and they withdrew themselves from the Gentiles while eating, which fell into the traditions of the law. Totally going in opposition to the message Peter himself got from God. Paul continues explaining the differences in Jew and Gentile and how justification comes by faith and not the works of the law, because they, Peter and others, were practicing the works of the law, and Paul was explaining the difference. And at the end of the chapter 2, Paul expresses in 19 through 21, "For through the law I am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness is owned by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." He went through all of chapter 2 to say that Christ is dead in vain if righteousness comes through the law. In the first five verses are six questions, but if you look at the entire verses, there are actually 9 questions in there. There's a few question marks that aren't there, but that are really questions within themselves, and we know what number 9 is associated with, is his judgment. So, this letter has more anger directed at backsliding than any other letter Paul has written. You can tell he is beside himself because Paul is really zealous of the finished work of Christ, and here he is disappointed that it seems to be for nothing. How many times is our testimony of Scripture being the same outcome? For me, it's happened a couple of times where they receive the truth, rightly divided, agree 100%, a week or a month later fall right back into the traditional practices that they were doing before. Chapter 3 expresses reproof of the Galatians for abandoning faith for legalism. Justification by faith is vindicated. The law is shown to be subsequent to the promise. Believers are the spiritual seed of Abraham, who was justified by faith. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might become children of God by faith. And that children is huios. And naturally, I am talking about the Galatians and not us in general when I say we. But that this is the letter to the Galatians. Because we have a different hope entirely. So let's look at Galatians 3:1-5. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? And that you should not obey the truth should be stricken out because it's not in the older manuscripts. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has evidently set forth crucified among you. This only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you ever suffered things in vain? If it be yet in vain. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you by the works of the law or by hearing of faith. So you can safely say that Paul is really upset with these people, and he is expressing it more so here than any other letter that he wrote to any of the other churches. And in one, so foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? That is bascano, to fascinate, to bewitch, that you should not obey the truth, is omitted, like I said before. But bewitched is fascinated so that you have lost your wits. And you is emphatic. Before whose eyes Jesus has been graphically set forth, literally in writing, namely by vivid portrait and preaching among you crucified. As Christ was crucified, so ye ought to have been by faith crucified with Christ, and so dead to the law. As in the previous chapter where Paul explains no justification through the law, but only through Christ. References to the eyes. It is appropriate, as fascination was supposed to be exercised through the eyes, the sight of Christ crucified ought to have been enough to counteract all fascination. We can look at Galatians 2:19-21 and see this. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. You notice he don't say a thing about he lives according to the law, by the law, but he lives by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Then we can look at Romans 7:4. Romans is, you could say that Romans and Galatians are coincided in many ways because they have the same characters to them, the same wording, and probably written fairly close together. I'm not going to say they are by any means, but it's very possible. Romans 7:4. Wherefore, my brethren, to the Romans, ye also have become dead to the law by the body of Christ. that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Everybody is dead to the law here in Galatians. In Romans, the law is dead. In verse 2 in Galatians 3, this only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by hearing of faith? Paul said here, who was your teacher? Desire now to learn this one thing from you. The epithet holy is not prefixed to spirit because the epithet is a joyous one, whereas this epithet is a stern and reproving one. The hearing of faith consists not in working, but in receiving. We can see this in Romans 10, 16 and 17. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. From verse 2, the works of the law that has already been gone over in chapter 2, in 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Faith and law do not work together. Verse 3. Paul's still going at them. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect, or being perfected by the flesh? I could, even the same tone that I'm using now, I'm sure he had it in his penmanship, you know, just really wanting to get in their face, you know. Are you so foolish? I would be throwing my hands in the air because that's my proud do thing when people are just really crazy. Well, I express a little craziness too by slinging my arms all over the place. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect, being perfected by the flesh? Are you seen to be made perfect with fleshly ordinances of the law? Does the law make you perfect by any means? Oh, because you know good and well, by them following the law, all they're doing is satisfying the Judaizers. Oh, look what I got them to do. Have you suffered so many things in vain? In verse 4. If it yet be vain. In 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles in you, not among you, but in you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? Here's an honest question that Paul already knew the answer. This cannot be because the law was then unknown to you when you received the gifts of the Spirit. When they received the gifts of the Spirit by Paul the first time, the works of the law, they didn't have a clue as to what they were. The Judaizers come back in with all their fancy headdress and all this and say, if you want to be a Christian, you got to do yada, 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 yada. I can see them now. Then we get Galatians 6 through 18 as Paul comparing Abraham with the Galatian believers with the same inheritance available to the Galatians as that of Abraham. And the law was as to Israel being under the yoke or burden of the curse. In Galatians 3:6, Paul says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the huios, children, sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith and preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So Paul is telling the Galatians that Abraham goes back before Israel even was. Abraham received a blessing from God before Israel was. Abraham was not an Israelite. Abraham was of the nations. At the time, Gentiles were not a thing, but they were just nations. But then Israel came into being, and then Israel didn't listen to God, didn't follow God's, or didn't follow their own promises to God, and guess what? Well, God let them know real quick, you're going to be under a curse because you can't listen. But the faithful ones, Abraham, by faith, those that are by faith, follows God's command, they don't need the law. If you follow God by faith in your heart, who needs the law? That's expressed over and over and over again in Scripture. In Genesis 12:1-3, God talking to Abraham. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt see a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. And here's the magic words. And in thee all the families of the earth be blessed. That's a promise from God to Abraham. And then we get to verse 9 in chapter 3 of Galatians. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Is this dispensational? Is this dispensational to the time of the grafting in? Yes. Is this dispensational for today? They which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Those that are faithful unto Christ. Is this truth for today? For those, the Christians that may not be in the body, but those that are of faith of Christ. And then 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Here's the curse of the law. Now this is referring to the law in Israel now, or of the time. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Moses gave an order to Israel in the wilderness after he returned 40 days and 40 nights on Mount Sinai in Deuteronomy 11:26-28. He says, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord, which I commanded you to commit and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I commanded you this day and go after other gods, which you have not known. And in verse 11, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God. No one is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. We see this in Romans 1:17, the comparison. For therein is righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And we get into 12. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. We compare this with Romans 7:6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve the newness of spirit and not the oldness of the letter. In 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That's ex orgazo. That's ransom. It is becoming a curse. It says being made a curse, but the word for that is becoming a curse for us. Say, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Well, we have two curses here. Let's look at the two curses. In Deuteronomy 11:26-28, the first curse in 13. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the law of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you obey not the commandments of the Lord, but turn away, which I command you. And then here's the other curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Deuteronomy 21:22-23. If a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night on the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God give thee for an inheritance. We'll get to 14. In order that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through the faith. There's a lot of these in there, because there's a lot of definite articles taking place here. The blessings of Abraham. The promises of the Spirit through the faith of God, through the Word. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men in 15, though it be but a man's covenant, yet when confirmed, no man or added thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises spoken. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. In 17, and this I say, that the covenant which was confirmed before God, the law, which came to be, 430 years after does not disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. Corrected in accordance of the CB notes, and this I say that the covenant was not confirmed by God, the law, which came to be 430 years after, doth not disannul to make the promise of none effect. Then in 18, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God has granted it to Abraham by promise. Then, verse 19 to 29, Paul explaining the law and grace to the Galatians. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, ordained by angels in the hand of the mediator, which was Moses. Wherefore then serveth the law, as it is of no avail for justification? It is either useless or contrary to the covenant of God. When it says until the seed, or during the period up to the time when the seed came, the law was a preparatory dispensation, Jewish nation. Christ died on the cross to fulfill the law. The law came in additionally and incidentally intervening between the promise and its fulfillment in Christ. Now the mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. So the mediator before was Moses, but God is one. So 21, is the law, which has a mediator, then against the promises of God, which are without a mediator, and rest on God alone? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily, righteousness should have been by the law. Righteousness can only come through the promise to Abraham and through its fulfillment in the gospel of grace. But the scripture, not the law, but scripture, hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ given to them that believe. The faith in Jesus Christ removes the law. The faith in Jesus Christ gives redemption. In 22, the word concludes, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin. That concluded is shut up or under condemnation as in prison. As prisoners gathered in the pit and shut up in the prison, beautifully contrasted in Isaiah 24:22 and Isaiah 61:1, which followed. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. The note says this is from 61:1 to 66:24 is Messiah in person, where Isaiah is speaking for. In verse 23, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up, unto faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore then, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. So once Christ died on the cross, the schoolmaster died. But now that faith is come, and Moses lawgiver cannot bring Israel into the reward of the land flowing with milk and honey, Canaan, though he was able, or honey, Canaan, though he was able to make them, he was able to take them to the border of it. This is Moses. At that point, he is superseded by Joshua, by the type of Jesus, who leads the true Israel into their inheritance. The same is the law is dead to Israel. Well, the law led Israel to Christ, and there its offense ceased. In 26, for ye are all children, huios, of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you who have been baptized unto Christ have put on Christ. Therefore, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. See, Paul is telling the Galatians that they have the same promise of Abraham. Why would they want to follow the law with all the bondage that's associated with it, with all the death that's associated with it? You can see why Paul would be so upset with people that are taking such a blessing of faith and throwing it aside and taking on the yoke of the law. But that's the way it is. That's not the rest of the story by any means, but that's chapter 3. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again, dear Lord, for this day and, Lord, all things that are on our hearts. Lord, we ask that you be with them. Be with us, Lord, as we go about our routines. And Lord, we're thankful for that you did on the cross, Lord, and that you did, you erased the law. Lord, in your eyes, we know the law doesn't exist at that point. And Lord, we know that through man's traditions, they constantly throw in the law in the people's face that don't know any better. And a lot of people fall into those traditions. Lord, all we can do is put forth the word and hope that one person can come to understand the truth rightly divided and separate the law from grace. And separate the truth from the lie. And Lord, we know that you are truth and your precious word is truth. But Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for your word. We thank you for that you did from before the foundation, Lord. For it's in all these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.